In the beginning of my message in the early service, I shared this with the congregation, and you may have heard me reference this before, especially those of you who go back and forth, but in the loft, there are two sides of the stage, as there are every stage, and there's a middle, and usually I stand in the middle, but I do kind of wander back and forth a little bit. And what I've discovered over the years is something I didn't initially realize, is that the stage over here, which is further south, it is technically, I am correct in saying this, it's closer to the equator. And this morning, I substituted in to play guitar, and that's where the guitarist stands, and it's hot on that side of the stage. Now, the other side of the stage, there is an air conditioning vent that's like right there. And so sometimes I have to share that with people because I don't want the people who are on this side, which is closer to the equator on the stage, to feel left out if I just spend all my time talking to the folks over here because it just feels so much better over here. And so you know. And so I say all that to say that there in that space, I have a good excuse for wandering back and forth and drifting all over the place and drifting more to one side than the other. And here it's just because I can't stand still. And I don't have that excuse, but you'll see me kind of wander back and forth. But I say all that to say this, because I think it directly builds on what this scripture is all about. We all have different reasons and different tensions that pull us in different directions in life. We all have experiences that will pull us away from the center of where we might are supposed to be to stay on the straight and narrow. And the challenge for us becomes, how do we navigate all these things that might pull us one direction or the other when God might be wanting us to stay right where we are, right on track? And that's really what this sermon series is all about. We're calling it intentional, living faithfully on purpose. And what it essentially boils down to is you don't get places by accident. We're going to talk about a training as we go through this. And you think about training for an event. You don't try your way to run a marathon. You have to train to run a marathon. You don't try your way to learn to play guitar. I mean, I did when I first started to play the guitar. I tried real hard, but then I had to learn to train and develop the skills necessary in order to get there. And so this series is essentially looking at, if we want to go a certain direction in life, how are we going to get there? And the answer is we have to be intentional about the path that we are on and the direction that we go. And part of that is putting the guardrails in place to make sure that we don't sway from one side to the other, but we stay on the track that God is calling us to walk faithfully within. So how are we intentional about that? Now, to set this up, I want to share a quick story about something that happened to me a few years ago. So in 2019, I had finished grad school for the second time, and I decided I want to get serious about my physical health. And so I joined a gym. I started waking up at 5 a.m., which meant, you know, going to bed early, waking up at the same time every day. And I got in pretty decent shape, at least for me. And so I go through that for a year. And then you know what happened in 2020. 2020 happened, and the gym shut down, the world shut down. You didn't hang out with people, and so I'm lonely. But the other thing that happened with that is, I don't know if anybody remembers this, but like your schedule just all of a sudden was clear. Like you didn't have like kids' activities, you didn't have meetings, you didn't have out-of-town travel, and it's just like, what do we do with all this time? And so I filled my time, honestly, with, I was intentional about daily working out and things like that. I got into running, and then, you know, a few months later, I moved here and got plugged into another gym. It was fortunately open by that point, and found some people to run with. And before long, I found myself moving in this intentional direction and moving in the direction of growing in my physical health. And, you know, and then you go running with the wrong people, and eventually they're going to talk you into signing up for a race. And so I started running with a couple of guys from the church, Sean and Wade, and we decided we were going to sign up for a half marathon. Now, here's me at the finish line. And I want to share with you the experience that I had that day. You might be looking at that and going, that's in front of the church. Was there a race here? So the year is 2021. It's in the springtime. There's still COVID protocols going on. And so what happened was we signed up for a race in another city. And then there was a little bit of an outbreak. And so they delayed the race by a month. Now, we're already into our training. We're going along. But they delayed the race by a month. And so Like, okay, so we'll just keep training, keep plugging along, keep going, keep going. And then they said, you know what, we're just not going to be able to do it in person. You'll have to plan your own. So here's what we did. So this is really fun. So we decided that because we could do it anywhere, it was going to be virtual and just timed on our phone, that we would set up our own race course through the city of Valdosta. We used our houses as the drink stops, which had built-in cheerleaders and our kids there. It was awesome. It was so much fun. One thing that was just so incredibly amazing and sweet, and love both of these folks who unfortunately are no longer with us, but Ben and Jane Stanlin lived in Wade's neighborhood. And when we went running through there, they knew that we were going to be running through there. They are out there, and Jane has Valdosta High School pom-poms. And she's, like, cheering for us, like, rattling them like crazy. And then Ben's there, you know, like, sipping on some coffee going, y'all are running too slow! I mean, he's like the heckler. And so it was awesome. It was so much fun. And we end up getting... We finished here at the church, and then that's my daughter, Everly Kate. That's been a few years ago. She's a little taller now. And Asher's on the other side, but he didn't make the picture. I'm sorry, buddy. But anyways, they held the finish line. This was a ceremonial finish line. I think I actually finished around the corner, according to the timer. But I ran through, and it was great. Now, here's what I want to share with you about this experience. It's the easiest race I've run in my entire life. And I don't think it was just because the weather was great. You know, like, weather is one of those things where, you know, like, the camera adds 10 pounds. I think it's 20 in my case. But weather will add time to your race time. The weather was good, so that was helpful. It wasn't just the people that I was with. It wasn't just the, you know, familiarity of the roads because we did it here in Valdosta. It was the fact that we put in that extra training. It was that we were intentional about it. It was that we made each and every run a priority for the ones we did together, for the ones that we did on our own. And we got this extra month of training because the race got delayed, and so we were even more ready for that race than we would have been otherwise. Now, I share that with you to say that something happened after that race. That summer, my son started playing soccer. That fall, my kids started gymnastics. Meetings started happening again. And all of these things started filling my schedule to the point that I don't know that I'll get back to having that much intentionality about training again just because my life got busier and I got pulled in so many different directions. Now, in this case, I got pulled in so many different directions by really good things. I'm not complaining about any of them. But what we experience in life is sometimes we lose sight of our intentionality, we lose sight of the direction that we are supposed to be going because it is so easy to be pulled in so many different directions. And so our question for today is very simply this: how do we live when everything seems to pull us away? When you think about the world in which we live in, you think about the challenges that you experience, you think about the things competing for your time, the things competing for your attention, the things trying to fill you with propaganda, the things that are trying to fill you with the right values. There are so many different things that would pull us in one direction or the other. How do we remain faithful in the midst of that? How do we stay intentionally marked on the course that God would lead us in? How do we live when everything seems to pull us away? Now, I want to give you the context of what's going on here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, if you were here last week, you heard a little bit of this, but this story, this is written to a guy by the name of Timothy, who was a young Christian leader towards the end of the first century, beginning of the second century. And he had been a travel companion of a guy by the name of Paul. So Paul wrote a majority of the New Testament. Paul was the minister to the Gentiles, and last week we talked about him being the chief of all sinners. He had like this radical conversion where he shifted from persecuting the church to all of a sudden being a leader of the church. And so Paul goes to this place called Ephesus, and he spends 3 years there, and he loves this church. He's very passionate about this church, but they run into some trouble after he leaves and goes on his next missionary journey. And he discovers that they are being led astray by all these different teachings. And so what he does is he says, all right, Timothy's the best I've got. I'm going to send Timothy, the best young pastor that I have, to go and lead this church, and he'll help get them on track. But he doesn't just send him like on his own. He says, I'm going to write to you. And I'm going to give you the instructions you need to handle the challenges that you are going to face. So what 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are essentially letters written by Paul to Timothy saying, you're going into the danger zone. I'm going to give you the words to say. I'm going to give you the instruction that you need so that you can be intentional about leading the church in a way that's going to keep them on track in their relationship with God. Now, here's the beautiful thing for us reading it today. I don't know that many of you are getting ready to go out and lead a church in a pagan culture. If you are, I'll write you a letter. I don't think it'll be as good as this one, but I'll write you a letter and I'll encourage you along the way. The beautiful thing for us, though, is these words that we find in these scriptures give us guidance as well for how we live in a similar culture that is trying to pull us in every which direction, competing for our time, competing for our attention, trying to feed us different values. How do we stay intentional in our faith? So we look at this and we look at the passage, and right before what I read just a few moments ago, at the beginning of the chapter, this is the way that Paul describes the scene. He says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith following deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, when you hear that, that sounds extreme. You're thinking to yourself, like, taught by demons? Good gosh, what is going on in Ephesus? Now, but here's the other part of that. You read that first part of the sentence? Clearly, in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. Does that sound familiar? Is that anything that you've experienced in the world in which we live? People being led astray, people following different spirits, people following different philosophies, different ideas. This happens all the time. This isn't limited to just Paul's time. This is something we experience each and every day. And this is something that the world around us is constantly trying to pull us in that tug of war that might pull us off track from the truth. And so that's why this teaching becomes so important. And so Paul continues and he says, such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Just in case you're wondering, he's not being complimentary of these folks when he says that. So what Paul is essentially saying is you find yourself in a difficult time. You find yourself in a time where it is going to be so easy for you to be pulled from one direction to the other. So how do you navigate that? How do you remain intentional within that? Now, if we go a few verses later and we get to verse 7, this is the way that he starts to unpack it. He says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Now, we pause right there. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. When I think back on the physical training and I think back on what it means to be intentional and deliberate in training for something, I also know how easy it is for other things to pull our attention away. And so you think, okay, what pulls your attention away from training? Well, I mean, for one thing, that there's so many things that you can just find scrolling on your phone. There's so many things you can watch on TV. And next thing you know, you've stayed up way too late. And so that early morning run's probably not going to happen. You're just probably going to sleep in because the alarm clock has this amazing way of being something you want to throw in the other room when it goes off. And your pillow has a much more appealing allure to it than hitting the pavement in the middle of the night when it's dark outside. And so you find yourself being pulled by these different tensions, by these different things, and so you have to decide, what am I going to push aside that might keep me away from the goal that I have in order to live into the goal that I have? So when Paul is saying to Timothy, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, he's saying, if you want to identify the direction that you're supposed to be going and the commitments that you're supposed to be making and what it means to be intentional, well, first of all, you've got to be intentional about getting out the stuff, the junk, that would keep you away from what God wants you to be and who God wants you to be. And so we have to be intentional about identifying those things. What are the things that would pull us off track? What are the philosophies that are pulling us away from God? What are the things that are competing for our time that even though they might be good, they're not great, and we find them just building up and building up and keeping us from where we need to be? And then the second part of it is that we have to be intentional about training ourselves to be godly. So that's the dichotomy. Don't get caught up in the stuff that would lead you astray. Instead, live into the things that would lead to godliness. And then Paul makes it explicit about with that comparison of the metaphor of physical training. So he says, for physical training is of some value, But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. What Paul is saying is we are called to be intentional about godliness. Now, when you hear that phrase, you might be thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, you know, this is the lecture on being holy, and this is the lecture on, like, you know, don't do that. Like, I had a friend in college, her dad didn't really know much about the church. He's like, oh yeah, you don't smoke or drink, and you pick up trash on the side of the road. I was like, that's not what we're talking about when we talk about godliness. I mean, sure, that could be an expression of godliness, but what godliness truly is living into the lifestyle intentionally of who God has called us to be. It's living into the love of Jesus. It's living into the teachings of Jesus. If we follow Jesus, if we follow the teachings of Jesus, we're going to be heading in the right direction intentionally to what it means to be godly. And so if we want to get there, we have to first be intentional about saying, what are the things that are pulling me off track? How do I need to push them aside in my life? And then how can I be intentional about shaping my life to follow in what's going to lead to being godly? So we are intentional about that. And then he gets into something that I think is very interesting. I love how this falls here right at the beginning of the school year, because I want all the kids in here, the youth in here, maybe you're young in your career and you're the rookie in the office, whatever it is, if you find yourself on the younger spectrum of life, this next part is so incredibly perfect for us for today. We jump down to verse 11, and it says, command and teach these things. And then we get this great verse where Paul instructs Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. In other words, be intentional with your example. Be intentional about your example. He calls upon Timothy to use the opportunities that he has to be intentional with his example, to demonstrate what it means to follow God. And in doing that, he is making a difference in the world around him. So he's already called him to focus and be intentional on being godly. Now he's saying, take that to the next level and let that be an example to the people around you. Now, when you think about being an example and making a difference and things like that, you probably will think of it in terms of like, you know, I don't have that much influence over people. I don't really have that much that I impact. And so I thought of this example. So I'm going to put two people up on the screen. I don't want anybody to say anything. Don't call out any names or anything. I just want to see a show of hands to see how many people know the names of the two individuals on the screen. Okay? All right. I see roughly about 12 hands of people who know both names. Got some back here? Okay, all right. We're rocking about, let's say 17. 17 of you, okay? All right, 17 of you in my completely scientifically accurate mathematical equation I just ran of counting know who these two people are. The reason only 17 of you know who they are is because we're in America, and we are not in Europe, and we are not in South America, where these two soccer players, who are the two most famous soccer players in the world, would be known by everybody in the room. This is Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. They are the two greatest soccer players still currently playing, and so they are widely known around the world. I looked it up. The two of them have the most Instagram followers of any individual in the world. Cristiano Ronaldo has over 600 million followers on Instagram. Lionel Messi has over 500 million. I looked mine up. I have 881. I'm not talking thousands. I'm not talking millions. I'm talking 881 humans. And I think Kenji's two of them. I mean, I think he's got multiple accounts. So, I mean, I look at that and I go, how can you compare these two? They have this wide reach. And if you look at the top 10, you'll see like Kylie Jenner, Ariana Grande, Taylor Swift, all these people that are famous, that they can put out something and half the world is going to know about it. And I think to myself, I look at that and I go, I do not have that kind of influence. My 881, 200, two of which are Kenji, I'm just not making a dent in the landscape of the world with that level of followers. I got more on Facebook, but that's no big deal. But I look at that, and it's easy to look at your sphere of influence and to minimize it, okay? But what Paul calls Timothy to do is not look at his stature, not look at his skill set, his experience, anything like that. He just says, you've got an opportunity. Don't let anybody look down on you for that which limits you. Make the most with the opportunity that you have and set an example for everybody. So here's how that works. You think about your sphere of influence. You think about the world you live in. And we all have a sphere of influence. Whether if you're a student, you have school. If you're in the workplace, you have work. If you're retired, this first bullet doesn't really apply to you as much. But you can think back on it. You can remember what it was like. That sphere is where you have the opportunity to make a difference and to be an influence and to set an example. Family, number one mission field, number one church. I love this church. I love the responsibility of being the pastor here. Wouldn't want any other job in the entire world. But my first and most important ministry starts at my house. It starts with my kids. It starts with these little guys who have gotten a little taller than they when they held a finish line for a half marathon. That is the important sphere for me, and it's not 600 million people, but there's three at my house. There's about to be a fourth. What an incredible opportunity each and every day. You think about your activities that you're involved in, whether you're into youth sports, whether you're into bridge, whether you're into something at the country club, whether you're in something with gardening. I mean, there are so many different things that people in this room are involved in that you have the opportunity to make a difference and to have influence within that sphere. Then there are your everyday travels. If you want to experience what it feels like to be pulled off course in your quest to live a godly life, just go to Walmart. Just go around people. I mean, just seriously, I mean, the interactions that we have with people each and every day are going to test our godliness. And in those moments, especially, we have an opportunity to set an example and to have an influence in that sphere. You think about your online witness. There's a guy, I talked to a few guys after the first service. We couldn't remember who exactly it was, but there was somebody who used to be on ESPN who had this thing that was, don't press send, don't press send. That was like what he would always say. He's like, don't press send. Whatever you're about to put online, just don't do it, don't do it. And I think about that, and it's like, that's pretty good advice. But if you do hit send, think about the witness that you are sharing. Think about the example that you are giving. Think about what you are telling people about who Jesus is when you put that out into the world. All of us have a sphere. It may not be 600 million, it may not be 500 million, it may not even be 881. But each and every opportunity is a place to make a difference. So what are we called to do within those places? This is the instructions that Paul gave Timothy. He says you can set an example through your speech, through your conduct, through your love, through your faith, and your purity. And what he especially says is don't let your limitation of being young, the thing you cannot control, keep you from setting the example in the things you can control. We all can control the example that we set and the way that we demonstrate what it means to follow God in our actions and in our everyday life through whatever realm of influence, no matter what size it is, that God has entrusted to each and every one of us. So, as we begin a brand new school year, the kids, the youth, those of you who are young in your workplaces, I mean, you have an opportunity to make a difference. Whatever God puts in front of you, you've got an opportunity to make a difference. I was reading this this past week, and I was thinking about the church I was at before I came here. I moved there when I was age 32, and the pastor that I followed had been in ministry for 31 years. Literally, I was 1 year older than his entire career in ministry. You want to talk about the pressure of people looking down upon you because you're young? I mean, I don't know that they did as much as it was in my head. But I couldn't focus on what I could not control, which was my age.
What I could focus on was the opportunity that I had been given to set an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And pointing people towards Jesus as the way that you live out your influence and what's been entrusted to you is so much more impactful than any other influence you might spread out into the world. And so we use those opportunities and we live into it. Now, for Timothy, Paul gives some kind of specific instructions for his situation. We'll look at how they play into our situation. So in verse 13, it says, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." So this is a part of Timothy's role. He is involved in the public reading of Scripture and to the preaching and teaching. So the things that he is involved in, the things that are a part of shaping his faith and shaping his influence and the example that he's going to set, you focus on those things, devote yourself towards those things. And he says, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Now, what he's saying here is that the devotion that Timothy has to the things he's been called to do and the things that are a part of his role, that if he is diligent in those things, if he is devoted to those things, then it is going to make an impact in the people that have been entrusted to his care, to the people that are in his sphere of influence. Now for us, when we think about this, this is a call to be intentional about our habits. For Timothy, it was devotion to the public reading of Scripture, to the teaching, and to the preaching. That was essentially, if you are faithful in the things that you are called to do, it will make a difference in your sphere of influence. What does that look like for us? Well, it may not be preaching and teaching, but it does involve the way that we interact with people in our work. It does involve the way that we interact with other kids at our school. It does impact the way that we engage with people in the community through different initiatives that we're a part of, different organizations that we're a part of. It does impact the people that we're going to meet at Walmart, and you're going to think about this the whole time you're in Walmart, and I'm sorry about that. But if we are intentional about our habits and how they are shaping us, then it will make a difference in the sphere of influence that we have. So this is what it looked like for Timothy. This next slide explains it. His diligent habits for him, Scripture, led to effective preaching and teaching that then led to effective sphere of influence and change. For us, diligent habits, whatever it is that we allow to shape us, will mold us and lead us into who we are going to be. And who we are going to be, we don't get there by accident. No one tries their way to be intentional about their faith. They train, they're diligent about it, they're focused on it. And so this morning, essentially what this all boils down to, our key takeaway for today is this: when everything pulls you, you choose what holds you. When everything around you might try to pull you a different direction, you choose what holds you. And so this morning, I want to invite you, as we get ready to close, just to simply think of two commitments that you could make. Going back to 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, "Have nothing to do with this. Instead, devote yourself to godliness." What are the things that are tugging at your life that are pulling you away from being intentional about living a godly life? What are those things that you are being called to push aside, to not let have a hold on you? And then, what is it that you need to incorporate in your life to be intentional about the path towards a godly life? Is it engaging in your study of Scripture? Is it the commitment to be here engaged in worship each week? Is it a study that you need to jump into? Is it a missional opportunity that you need to take hold of so that you can live out your faith in a powerful way? Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to take that next step, to not let things drift you away, let things pull you away, but be intentional about letting something hold you and shape you and mold you into who God wants you to be.